Mick asked me if I would interview Steve, and I met Steve. I went on a do team venture to Fiji, and the weather was much like this. The thing that sticks in my mind most was the rain and the mud, but it was a great time. And so what are you doing now, Steve?
Yeah, thanks, Lois. It's kind of like a homecoming to come back to this church. I think I've done three teams from Manurewa Baptist in different parts of the world. And I see some friends that have been on trips that have come with me. I've taken two to Fiji from Manurewa, and I think one to Bangladesh, where Scott came on, and a number of other people. So it's almost like a homecoming coming here. But my wife and children over here, we're missionaries in Fiji. And I was a single guy, so I used to travel around the world doing short-term mission trips to all over Asia and Afghanistan and Fiji, and my wife and her late husband were based in Fiji as missionaries until my wife's husband passed away and we got married. And now, a long story, but we're now in Calcutta, India, and just loving being there.
That's great, isn't it? And obviously mission is in your blood, isn't it? And you were so great on that trip I took anyhow, and I know you'll be a great blessing where you are. And do you want to introduce your children's
name? Come on. They're all shy.
Aren't they lovely?
Come on, guys. It's my wife, Heather, then Aaron, Hannah, Rachel, and Adam. And Hannah's just going to start university next year, and that's the reason why we've actually come back. We've just come back for a short break of 5 weeks, so to introduce Hannah to all the details of getting ready for university, since we haven't lived in a Western country for a long time, so we don't even know how to use FPOS cards and all that sort of stuff, and we're wearing shoes for the first time in a long time. Still some of them wear bare feet and flip-flops. So, yeah, we'll just come back for a short break just to get Hannah ready to start university. So that's why we're here.
And how did you meet Mick?
Oh, Mick, yeah, it's a really interesting scenario. I decided I had a business here in Auckland, and I had a big contracting company, which was Auckland-wide, and I just decided one day to take a bunch of guys from my church on a short-term mission trip to Fiji, and so a bunch of us got together to go and do a building project in Fiji to build a church. And it happened to be that Mick was leading that particular trip, and Mick and I just seemed to get on really well. And I said to Mick at the end of the trip, hey, if you want any help for the next trip, let me know. I'll be pretty keen. And a year later, Mick rang me and says, oh, we want you to organise the whole trip. And I didn't take any notice of who provided the food and the transport or anything like that, but I think you're on that trip. We managed to bluff it quite well, actually. Little did you know, but we were only getting things organised just a day or so in advance.
Wow. It was great food. Lots of fruit and lovely stuff like that. Yeah. So it's Mick's fault, really, that you're...
Yeah, it's Mick's fault. I blame all the diarrhoea I've had over the last 2 years. I blame Mick for it.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's got a lot to answer for, hasn't
he? Yeah, but he's not here.
But anyhow, we look forward to hearing what you've got to share. And perhaps I'll just pray for you before we start. Father, I thank you for Steve. I thank you for his heart for mission. I thank you for Heather and the family, Lord. And I just thank you for the blessing he is, and both of them and their family, Lord. And I just pray that you will just really, really guide and bless and just go with them this year, that this year will be a very special year. And Lord, that you'll be with Hannah too as she stays here away from the rest of the family this year. Just be with her in this year where she has a new beginning in New Zealand. And we just look forward to Steve's message. Just speak to us through him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, we're just going to take up the offering now. You know, everything we have has been given to us by God, and it's just such a neat privilege to be able to give just a small portion of that back to God for his kingdom. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll take up that offering. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are. And Lord, as we think upon you right now, Lord, we just can't help but think of all the amazing things that you have done in each one of our lives here. Each one of us here, Father God, has had a touch from you, and you've transformed us in big ways and in small ways. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. I know personally I'd hate to do life without you. And so I'm just really glad to have you as a part of my life, Lord God. Father, the offerings and the tithes that we bring into the storehouse this morning, we pray your blessing upon them, Father, and may they be used for your glory, for your kingdom, and according to your purposes, Father God. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, everyone. Hey, somebody got a watch? Mick was real adamant that I wasn't to speak too long, but I don't wear a watch, so some got a watch I can use? Oh, yep. I can barely see it from here. What's the time? 10:45. Cool. You don't want me to preach for any longer than an hour and a half, so. Hey, as you saw on the DVD there, that's our home. That's where we live. We live in Calcutta, India. We love it. Where we live is poor. It's really poor. There are 1 million people living on the streets just where we live. 1 million people that live just on the streets, not far from where we live. Just down the road from where we live is a squatter settlement where people that are really, really poor. They struggle just for the every little bit of life. It's pretty hard sometimes. We put our rubbish in the rubbish bags and we take it down to the local dumpster, and then one of the boys from Freeset takes that rubbish down to the local rubbish heap, which is just, you know, just 5 minutes walk down from our house. Dumps the rubbish on the rubbish heap, and then straight away, people run out from their little squatter settlements and they fossick through the rubbish from our house. They eat what they can of our leftover food, and whatever else they can find in our trash, they go and sell it or recycle it or use it however they can. It's a really, really poor area. As you saw on the video there, there's 10,000 girls within half a mile of our home, half a mile radius of our place. We actually live in one of the Freeset factories. We actually live in the t-shirt factory that make these. What you saw mainly on the DVD there was the bag factory, and that's just across the road. Within half a mile of our house, there is 10,000 girls that every day are forced to offer sex. They get no choice about it. There is no decision on their part. They get no money out of it themselves. Prostitution is a forced prostitution. A man will steal a girl, buy her, kidnap her from a rural village somewhere in India, drag her to the area that we are in, and force her to be a sex slave. And he will take all the profits from it. And she gets enough rice to keep her alive, and that's pretty much it. Poverty is one of the main drivers, or corruption, of the sex industry where we live. And it's people that live in these squatter settlements that just don't have enough to survive. They encourage their daughters to service a customer so that they might eat for that day. So where we live is extremely poor. We absolutely love it. It's just a wonderful place to live. You know, just a few weeks ago we were in church in Calcutta, and the preacher was preaching from the message in the Bible, from the story about the lost son. Now, I'm sure you all know the story of the lost son. It's found in Luke. If you can turn it in your Bibles if you want to. Luke 15, verse 11 to 32. I'm not actually going to read it this morning. Mick put me on such a time schedule that it's not going to permit. But you're all pretty much familiar with the story, I'm sure, about how the son asks for his inheritance from the dad. He goes off to some wild land and spends it all on all sorts of bits and pieces. You know the story. But it really got me to thinking. This preacher was there, and he was preaching all about the son. And all about how the son was a wicked man, and he had taken the father's inheritance, which was a really wrong thing to do in those times. And it sure is today. If my kids came and asked me for their inheritance now, I'd probably give them a kick up the backside and tell them to get lost. It's a really rude thing to do, isn't it? Even in our culture now, it's a rude thing to come to your parents and ask them for their inheritance. It was back then too. It was an extremely rude thing to do. He took this money, he went off to a land and he wasted it all. And the preacher this day in Calcutta was saying, don't be like the son. Don't spend all your money and waste it. Don't sleep with prostitutes. And I got to thinking, is that really what the story's all about? I don't think so. As I was sitting there, I sort of thought back, what is the story about? You know, even my Bible here is called the story of the lost son. Is that the same in yours? What's it called? I don't really think it's a story about a lost son at all. I don't think it has any bearing on the son. The son is just an illustration that Jesus was giving. If you look just back a few verses in your Bible, I think in Luke 15, verse 1 to 3. If you want to have a look at that, it's actually pretty interesting. Jesus was sitting down, not doing much, and some guys came up to him. And they asked him a question. They asked him this: why do you associate and even eat with tax collectors and notorious sinners? That's what Jesus was asked. Did you get that? Why do you associate and even eat with tax collectors and notorious sinners? Interesting question. These are some really well-off guys, some Pharisees, that had come up to Jesus, and they were saying to him, you know, you're a rabbi. You're educated. You're smart. You could have all you want. But here you are. You're mixing with tax collectors, people that are sinners. You even have a tax collector in your group of disciples. Even a prostitute hangs around with you. What are you doing? And back in those days, that was a really strange thing to do, was to, you know, there were parts of society that were just segregated. And you didn't associate with those sorts of people. Interesting question Jesus was asked. What did Jesus do? He gave three stories as a way of telling him why he associated with those people. I think it's really interesting. If you have a look at those stories, I've just chosen the third one, which is the story of the lost son. He gave the story with the whole motivation to explain to these guys why he associated with outcasts. I think it's really special. The focus of the story is not the son at all. The son he's using as an illustration of people that are a long way from God. The father figure in the story is, of course, his heavenly father. Jesus' heavenly father. The son is you and me, people that are just a long way from God at times. We've done a lot of things that have hurt the father, and it's meant that we have gone to different lands, or we've done stupid things, and we've gone a long way from him. That was the illustration Jesus gave. Of course, he gave some beautiful, beautiful illustrations. Interesting imagery that Jesus used about the father in the story. Really interesting. I love it. He used the imagery of a rich man. The man in the Bible that we read about in the story of the lost son is a rich guy. I mean, he's got a robe, he's got rings that he can give to his son, he's got servants, he's got hired men. He's a real rich guy. Interesting, really interesting stuff about, the more I've lived in Asia, the more I've learnt about the Bible. Which is really cool because our Western society is actually quite a bit different to the society back in the New Testament, isn't it? But Indian society, or where we live in Calcutta, is actually quite a bit similar to the Middle East and where the New Testament was set. It's really special. I've learned a lot about just some really neat cultural similarities. But this guy's really rich. He's got a fattened calf that he can afford to butcher. He can put on a feast. He's a really rich guy. You know, it's interesting imagery that when the son comes back from the foreign land, that the father pulls up his robe, or his, we call it a longi in Calcutta. I'm not sure what you'd call it back in times in Israel, but it's a robe that is wrapped around you, and you have to pull it up to run. If you ever have to wear a longi in Calcutta, or a sulu in Fiji, or a lava lava in Samoa, they're actually really hard to run in. I've tried. So he actually pulled his robe up to run out to his son. You know, the interesting thing is, years ago when I lived in Auckland here, I used to work for a while for one of Auckland's richest men. A really interesting experience. He was worth millions and millions of dollars. And my job for him was buying real estate for him. So he employed me to buy a whole lot of residential homes for him. And man, he taught me a lot. I learned a heck of a lot. But I did learn from him that rich men don't run. He didn't need to. I mean, he had a $3 million house that he lived in, and he had people that came and cut the lawns, and cleaners that cleaned the house, and he had people to drive his car when he needed it. People were always just within a phone call away. He was a rich man, and he didn't need to run. And like this man here in the Bible, he didn't need to run. For a rich man to lift up his longi was firstly never ever happens in those cultures, and for a rich man to run, very unusual. I mean, if you looked at New Zealand's richest men, the only time that they would actually run is when they're up for a jog. They've got other people to do all that. The imagery that Jesus used of this rich man, that this rich man was different. He was very different. Firstly, the fact that he gave his son the inheritance early is bizarre. It doesn't happen in the culture we live in. It would be very seldom it would actually happen here, is that a father would give half of his estate early to his young son. We all know it'd be foolishness. Yet Jesus was providing imagery about his heavenly father that we can learn from. You know, if Jesus were to come back today, you know, I'd just like to sit and talk with him. Wouldn't you? I just want to sit and yak with him. I'd sit down here and I would want to hear all he had to say, and I just want to talk to him. I'd probably ask him if we'd go for a walk down the beach and yak to him. And I just want to hang out with him, enjoy life with him. I'd probably want to see if he was onto Harley Davidson's and see if we could go on a bike ride together. And just hanging out with him. You know, if, like you, to me, Jesus is my best friend. And I just want to do time with him. Wouldn't you? Yeah. If, you know, I just last week met my best friend. He lives in Australia. We haven't seen each other for 6 years because we're always in different countries. Gosh, it was just neat to catch up. Just to talk and yak. We talked till late in the night. I only got to see him for a day, but we made the most of it. Like that Jesus, if I had the time with him and he came back now, I just want to sit and yak to him and spend time with him. You know, after a while, I think Jesus would hang out like he did with the disciples. He would, you know, they did plenty of time together. They sat around having meals together. They went places and journeyed places together. But at some point in time, if Jesus was hanging out with us here today, he would say to us, "Well, Steve, it's time to go." And you think, "Well, where are you going?" He says, "I've got to go. I've got to go to do my job." And you think, "Well, where are you going?" Jesus' default system was to hang out with the poor. Hang out with people that were on the edges of society. Hang out with the people that have been rejected by our generation, in his generation. He was found with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. It's an interesting thing to analyze that if Jesus came back today, hard thing for us is that we would just want to hang out with him, but his default setting would always be to go. And say, "I've got to go and do my job. I don't need to spend time with you. You're already mine. It's hard, isn't it? For me, I'd be pretty hacked off. I'd be a little bit like the Pharisees and saying, what the heck are you doing? I just want to hang out with you. But he didn't. He just wanted to keep going to the lost. Keep going to the people that needed him the most. You know, for us it's actually real easy. We live amongst the poor. I'd say that the chapter of our lives at present is probably the best chapter I've ever had in my life, is just living with the poor. We just love it. We get to see God doing some just amazing stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but have you ever seen someone come to the Lord that has been a long way from him? You know, I don't know if you've seen people that are on the edges of society, people that have been rejected by our generation, come to know Christ as Lord and Saviour. It's just amazing. For us, we're just lucky. We get to see it all the time. We just get to see the God doing some just incredible stuff amongst prostitutes. Girls that have been through just the most incredible hardship. I'm not even going to explain to you today of some of their stories, because it just makes your skin crawl. But they come from just the most hurt backgrounds. And to see them get freedom from the sex trade is pretty incredible. You know, just a while back, there was a girl came to Freeset, and it was about almost 2 years ago. And she had the hardest face of any girl I've ever seen. She never smiled. She never gave any hint of emotion. You could just tell the scars on her face and her arms that she'd had a hard life in the trade. And I just kept an eye on her, and she started at Freeset. She went through the training process. And month after month, she would be there at devotions, and I'd always keep an eye on her. She always, for some reason, stood up the front. It took months and months and months before one day we were doing devotions, and we're doing a worship time at Freeset, and she smiled. I thought, man, that's a start. She smiled. I hadn't seen a smile come out of that lady's face for months. Yet she smiled. She'd got freedom from the trade. She had a life and a future ahead of her. And from that point on, she smiled every day. Now she's actually free of the trade. She's actually, one of the few girls has actually left Freeset. She got married to a really good guy, has a wonderful husband, lives in a really nice area, and is doing a great job. One of our ladies visited her recently just to see how she was. To see people come from the edges of society to know Christ, I would say, is the most rewarding thing you can ever, ever do. For us, it's easy. But my message to you today is for you to find people that are on the edges of society and befriend them. You know, your work colleagues might say to you, what are you hanging out with those people for? And you know what? It's going to hurt. It's going to be really, really hard. If it's anything like our area, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of alcoholism. We have a fight outside our bedroom window every single night. Every single night. With somebody that's drunk. And it can be hard working with the poor. It can be personally difficult for you, spiritually challenging, but I promise you, like Jesus did, that it'll be the most rewarding thing you can ever do, is to spend time with people that are right on the edges of society. You might not see any success for a long, long time, but Jesus will. Jesus, who just loves those people, will powerfully work through you as you work with the poor. I'm sure that there's people in your street where you live that are going through hard times. You don't have to come to Calcutta to find the poor. I'm sure you're going to find them just down the road from where you live. Or, if not, maybe they're not too far away and you get involved with some organisation that is working with the poor. You don't have to be the one that goes overseas. But I think that if you don't have a group of friends in your life that are poor and needing your input, you're unbalanced in your life. I've always had this little balance thing that I have in my life. I always have people that are above me that are sowing into my life. So when I can, I always try to befriend people that are superstars of the Christian faith. And at times I've even, when I was here in Auckland, I actually paid money to go and sit with some pastors in Auckland just so I could ask them questions. So I've always tried to have a balance of people feeding into me. I've also think it's important to have a group of people that are on the same plateau that I'm on, just good mates. People that are around me that we can just have good times with and do life with. But I also think we need people that we're sowing into. People that really need our help, our time, our money, our efforts. And I think that's important. Jesus actually had that balance, you know. He had a group of people. You know, we hear when he was just a young boy, he was sitting in the temple talking to some rabbis. We hear that many times that he was with the poor. He didn't spend his time with the poor all the time. He had a balance. And I think that for you and for me, we all need to have a balance in our life of who we are and who is around us. And maybe you can, after church today, you can just do a review in your head and you think, gosh, who are my friends? I always used to love when I left New Zealand, which was pretty regularly, I'd always, after a few days overseas, I'd stop and think, gosh, how am I doing back in New Zealand? Who are the friends that are around me? Who are the people that are sowing into me? And what work am I doing with people around me? So my challenge to you today is to have a look at yourself and say, hey, what's my friendship like? Who's around me? Who do I need to sow into? Hey, that wasn't an hour and a half. I lasted 20 minutes. That's not too bad, eh? So that's our message for you today, is to look at who's around you and what you can do with, like Jesus did, with the poor. And this is not just one verse of the Bible that Jesus talks about the poor. He spent a lot of time with the poor. And if you look in your Bible, you're going to find many, many verses that talks about the people that he hung around with. So, okay. Thanks for your invite. We've loved being here. And like I said before, it's like a homecoming. There's lots of dear friends here. And if you ever, some of you guys want to come back to Calcutta and see us, we'd love to have you sometime. And show us, we'd love to show you around where we live and be part of Freeset. Hope you're good at making bags or something, because we'll put you to work in the factory somewhere. Thanks.